This is the voice of Biafra International Broadcast coming to you from Washington, D.C., bringing you matters of interest to Biafra. You are tuned to the voice of Biafra International Broadcast coming to you from Washington, D.C., bringing you matters of interest to Biafra. You are tuned to the voice of Biafra International Broadcast coming to you from Washington, D.C., bringing you matters of interest to Biafra. You are tuned to the voice of Biafra International Broadcast coming to you from Washington, D.C., bringing you matters of interest to Biafra.
Let us pray.
You are tuned to the voice of Biafra International Broadcast coming to you from Washington, D.C., bringing you matters of interest to Biafra.
Here is the news, read by Mazichi Dubem Akobondo. First, the main points of today's news broadcast. Nigerian government to buy four more presidential aircrafts, displaying total insensitivity to the plight of the suffering masses. Enugu Airport denied international status by the Abuja government. Second, the Newi International Auto Trade Fair opens. Nelson Mandela, the modern-day icon of freedom from oppression, gets a United Nations-approved International Day. And now, the news in full. Not minding the suffering soon to be imposed on the already overburdened masses by the Nigerian government's so-called deregulation of the petroleum sector, the government is nonetheless displaying further insensitivity to the plight of the poor masses in the country by proposing to buy four more aircraft for the presidential fleet. In the current 2010 appropriation bill sent to the Nigerian Assembly, the Yar'Adua government is budgeting for the purchase of four additional presidential aircrafts at $210 million, which is about 31.5 billion naira, in the next fiscal year. It should be noted that the presidential fleet already boasts of eight aircrafts, including three jets, to underscore the extent of the profligacy attending such a wasteful expenditure. Meanwhile, the only highway connecting the industrious Igbo land to the commercial nerve center of Nigeria in Lagos remains in a dilapidated state as ever. Also, no one even talks of the decrepit Niger Bridge at Onitsha anymore, as we all wait with bated breath for the imminent collapse. Indeed, no self-respecting ethnic group should endure such maltreatment and maligning neglect, and certainly not the great Igbo race. For any doubting Thomases that may have been still arguing about the existence of an insidious agenda of the Aburi government, the Hausa Fulani Yoruba oligarchy, to marginalize Ndi Igbo and keep them under a permanent subjugation, the recent news that Enugu Airport has been denied international status must have come as an eye-opener. The Nigerian government, in a statement earlier in the week, hastened to clarify that it has not given approval for upgrading the Akanigam Airport Enugu to an international status, stressing that only four airports, namely those in Lagos, Abuja, Kano, and Port Harcourt would remain as international airports for now. Ndị Igbo had of recent been celebrating news reports that the Abuja government has awarded $4.13 billion contract for the upgrading of facilities in the airport to an international status. This development was also confirmed by no less a person than Nigeria's Deputy Senate President, Ike Ekweremadu, who vouched that the contract, which was approved by Nigeria's ruling body, the Federal Executive Council, in its recent meeting in Abuja, was aimed at granting Enugu Airport an international status. However, such misplaced optimism by Ndị Igbo was quickly dashed by a response from the Minister of Aviation, Mr. Babatunde Omotoba, who stressed that the contract was primarily to rehabilitate and upgrade facilities in the airport to meet aviation safety standards. One wonders how many times Ndị Igbo will be fooled over this, their one Nigeria pipe dream. A revalidation of the technological savvy of Ndị Igbo and testament to their inventive zeal in this respect was once more demonstrated last weekend in the flagging off of the second Newi International Auto Trade Fair at the Beverly Hills Hotel, Newi. At this momentous event, the first made-in-Nigeria vehicles manufactured by an indigenous company in Newi, Innocent Nigeria Limited, was unveiled. The fair, which will end on December 7, had in attendance manufacturing companies within the business enclave and corporate organizations, including business interests from nationals of other countries, other African countries, and beyond. The Voice of Biafra salutes the brains behind this laudable event, and especially praises the ingenuity of our Newi-based technological innovators and manufacturers. We note that technological innovation resides in the blood of Ndị Igbo everywhere, for it was such ingenuity that saw to our making great strides in technological inventions and other indigenous military marvels that sustained our war efforts during the Biafra-Nigeria War. We are pleased to note that despite the hostile and mitigating circumstances of the Nigerian environment, our people continue to forge ahead with remarkable zeal and attendant progress in pioneering novel technological innovations. Up Ndị Igbo, up Biafra. All Africans, and indeed the whole world, rejoiced and celebrated the decision of the United Nations General Assembly to make July 18 Nelson Mandela International Day. Without doubt, Nelson Mandela, more than any other living human being today, is a symbol of freedom from the worst form of oppression. A symbol of victory, snatched against insurmountable odds, for Mandela's victory against the oppressive and inhuman apartheid regime in South Africa is comparable to the miraculous victory of David against Goliath. What endeared Mandela even more to the whole world was his magnanimity at victory toward his erstwhile murderous oppressors and tormentors. Mandela's profile has therefore soared to enviable heights, placing him at the highest ranks of an international pedestal. We join all lovers of freedom and justice worldwide to congratulate this icon of liberty. We also use this opportunity to remind all Biafrans to emulate the spirit of Mandela, whose perseverance against injustice in the face of overwhelming odds brought victory in the end. For he who perseveres will always win. On that note, we come to the end of the news broadcast for today. Good night, and God bless Biafra.
You are tuned to the Voice of Biafra International Broadcast, bringing you matters of interest to Biafra. You are tuned to the Voice of Biafra International Broadcast, coming to you from Washington, D.C., bringing you matters of interest to Biafra. This is the news analysis segment of the Voice of Biafra International VOBI broadcasts. You have heard the news. Now, the analysis. Fellow Biafrans, Nigeria politics and the stupidity of some Igbo. We say no value, no benefit to our people. Can you believe the information we just received that Ikedi Ohakim, the so-called governor of Imo so-called state of Nigeria, ran to northern Nigeria to beg the Muslim sultans to make him the next governor of Imo state, that is, to retain his current position come next elections? Can you see the madness? First, Ohakim defected to PDP for the same reason, which is so he can keep the current post of the governor of Imo state. Remember that while every single Nigerian political party has peppered our people, none has done it more efficiently and more ruthlessly than PDP. But now, Ohakim has joined PDP to do what? So that he can rule Imo state as the next governor. And now, he will probably convert to Islam too and start building mosques all over Imo state, like Orju Zakalo did in Umuahia as the then Abia so-called Nigerian state governor, with Ohakim forgetting that when the time came, the same northern Nigeria caliphates laughed at Orju Zakalo in his overgrown ambition for Nigerian presidency or vice presidency nomination. And they, the caliphates, made sure that Orju Zakalo did not even smell such a nomination. You know, the caliphates used to know and describe the Igbo as one that you could buy with money. Any amount will do. Now they, the caliphates, will also know that the Igbo will do anything for political office. Anything. We have Ohakim today to thank for this. And of course, Orju Zakalo before him. People of Biafra, Igbo people, Oweri people, what will you do about Ohakim? Will you let him be foisted over you by the Muslim slave masters? Will you let him return to Oweri and still act like he is serving you as a governor? Will you allow him to use your land and resources to start building mosques all over the place? No, no, no. The answer is no. As we have all seen, there is nothing about Nigeria that benefits our people. No value, no benefits at all to our people. Especially Nigerian politics. It has never benefited our people. It has never brought value to our people, nor has it added anything of value to us. But selfishness and greed for power and money has turned some of our people into such stupid fools and stooges that they are willing to sell us out and to sell our birthright right from under our feet to any bidder, but especially to our mortal enemies. And as we have seen, no group exemplifies Nigeria in their torture of our people more than the Northerners, especially their cunning and conniving caliphates. For it was they who planned and coordinated the pogrom and genocide against our people in 1966-1967. And it is they who insist on and carry out the state of Nigeria's anti-Igbo, anti-Biafran policies today. Yet, it is to these same enemies that Ohakim ran to quote-unquote fix his second term bid in our own land. People of Biafra, you let Orju Zakalo go scot-free. You let Iwanyanwu get away without sanction. You let the Ubas get away with murders. Scores of people like them you let go without any penalty at all for damaging our defenseless people. These are all persons who sold their souls to Nigeria and became Nigeria's vehicle for running over, maiming, crippling, and killing our people. They did that for selfish gain and for greed, and they sold us out as a pawn in their diabolical game. Today, Ohakim is following right in their footsteps. Are we going to let this happen? Are we going to let Ohakim get away scot-free? For one, we all know this without waiting for instructions. We are not going to participate in any Nigerian elections in our land. So whatever else Ohakim is thinking, we are not going to participate in any polls. We are going to boycott the next elections for sure. Of course, we know already that those elections will be rigged and that there will be violence. But we boycott these elections because it is wrong for us to participate in a process that not only offers us neither value nor benefit, but actually is guaranteed to rubber stamp Nigeria's humiliation of us and Nigeria's humiliating selection and imposition of quote-unquote leaders for us without our consent. Next, in keeping with our cultural practice, we ought to shun Ohakim for his egregious offense, for this error. So, plan to boycott any and all Nigerian elections, and for now, shun Ohakim, look the other way and spit when you see him. Don't speak to him, but make it known in other ways that his was an act of error. Elsewhere, you see how Nigerian politics is revolving around the sick, possible by now comatose president of Nigeria, Yar'Adua. In the responses of Nigerians to Yar'Adua's situation and condition, you can see how sick Nigeria itself is and how sick those who still call themselves Nigerians are. We see those greedy for power, the selfish, those in psychological denial, the sycophants, the absurd, the truly ignorant, and the cowards. We see Nigeria's so-called quote-unquote lawmakers playing their game of collective cowardice, living on another recess when they are in fact needed to address an emerging constitutional crisis. We read liars who have no shame deceiving the peoples. We see Yar'Adua himself, the arch hypocrite who styles himself as law-abiding while breaking the laws. And we come to understand him as a selfish power monger who has no concern for the welfare of those he was foisted over and who wants to cling to power rather than manage his own mortal health issues, even though his tenure in power has been an unmitigated disaster. Then we hear instructions to quote-unquote pray fervently, collectively, for Yar'Adua in a sycophantic rant, when Yar'Adua himself is too greedy to let go of an office where he does not even belong in the first place. He never belonged there in the past, he doesn't belong there now, and least of all, he does not belong there in the future. But in fact, the ones who really need the prayers are actually the peoples victimized by Yar'Adua and his administration's malfeasance, nonfeasance, and incompetency. In all the feverish acts and write-ups representing usual Nigerian politics, can you find a single thing therein that is of any value or of benefit to our people? The answer is no. But in Biafra, the government and officials serve according to the collective will of the people expressed through the ballot. There is no entitlement to any office. Poor performance and underperformance will be replaced. The Biafran constitution will be followed to the letter. No person or group may hold or will be allowed to hold the nation and people of Biafra hostage. Never. In Biafra, the health of the populace and the health of the individuals will assume high priority as well as the means to good health, such as affordable, adequate and appropriate care, excellent hospitals, clinics and offices, well-trained physicians and nurses and pharmacists and other health personnel,
well-run medical and nursing schools and other healthcare institutions, and sound education. That's why Biafra is really the answer. No wonder Biafra is the only desire of our people. Biafra alive? Because it is God who makes it so. That's the news analysis for the week. Thank you. God bless and keep Biafra and you until our next broadcast. Voice of Biafra International, VOBI, broadcast now continues in Igbo, one of the Biafran languages. Ndi Biafra, ekeleo, anye ekelunu. Nke awa akuko nke anyi na akpo news analysis hosting a Voice of Biafra International, VOBI radio. Nke di na Washington, D.C. na ala America na abiarunu na abaleya. Anyi si, politics in Nigeria na nzuzu ndi Igbo. Uru adire anyi na ya. Aru emeela ọzọ unu anụkwara na Ikedi Ohakim na-akpọ onwe ya gọvanọ Imo steeti gbagawara n'ala Hausa ka ọ gaa rịọ ndị isi ndị Hausa ka ha wụ ndị isi ndị Hausa mee ya wụ Ohakim ka ọ kawụrụ gọvanọ ndị Imo mgbe a ga-eme elekshọn ndị Naịjirịa na-abịa n'ihu. Unu nụkwara nke ahụ? Ohakim gara gbaa ikpere gbisiri ya ndị isi ndị Hausa ka ha mee ya gọvanọ n'ala Igbo, ala Biafra. Hey, Tufiakwa, ihere mee Ikedi Ohakim, ma ndị dịka ya anaghị eme ihere. Mgbe ọjụ ụzọ n'oge gara aga, kedu uru ọ barala ọjụ ụzọ Kalụ? Ọkwa ndị Hausa chịrị ya ọchị. Ihe ahụ ọ na-achọ ka e mee ya ka ọ wụrụ prezidenti Naịjirịa ma ọ vaịsi prezidenti Naịjirịa ka e nye ya nọmineshọn. O nwere mgbe ndị Hausa jiri mee nke ahụ? Mba, ọ naanị ọchị ka ha chịrị ya. Ọ bụkwa otu Ohakim ya gara bazie na pati ndị PDP ka o jiri otu ahụ jide ọkwa gọvanọ ndị Imo na elekshọn ndị Naịjirịa na-abịa abịa. Oleghị onye amaghị na naanị ihe ọjọọ ka PDP butere ndị Igbo ndị Biafra. Na naanị ihe ọjọọ ka PDP na-eme ndị Igbo ndị Biafra kemgbe dum. Ma onye nzuzu ahụ a na-akpọ Ohakim ga-agazie baa PDP ka PDP chie ya gọvanọ ndị Imo mgbe e mere elekshọn ndị Naịjirịa ọzọ. Chirinụ nke a mara na ihe anyị na-agwa unu wụ eziokwu. O nweghị uru ọ barala anyị na onye Biafra ma onye Igbo ọbụla na-egwu politics Naịjirịa. Politics Naịjirịa Biafra, o nweghị uru ọ barala anyị, mba. Ma ọ dị mkpa ka anyị kụziere Ohakim ihe. Anyị ahafụla ọjọ ụzọ Kalụ, iwu anyanwụ, ụba na ụba nwanne ya, na ndị Igbo ndị iberibe ndị ibe ha. Anyị ahafụla ha ọkpọrọ, ma o kwesịghị ka Ohakim laa ọkpọrọ. Ihe anyị ga-emewu na onye atụpụkwarala Ohakim ọnụ. Gị hụ ya, gị efufu isi, lefu anya ebe ọzọ, vụọ asụ. Mara na ya wụ Ohakim wụ onye ihurihu, onye efulefu. N'ihe gbasara elekshọn ndị Naịjirịa, unu ma na-ama na ya agaghị eso ha mee elekshọn ahụ. O nwere otu anyị ga-esi aga si na anyị na-eme elekshọn ndị Naịjirịa? Anyị ga-aboikọtụ elekshọn ndị Naịjirịa ọwụla ka anyị siri boikọtụ elekshọn ha na mgbe gara aga. Unu leenu ihe na-eme taa na ala ọjọọ ahụ, ala Naịjirịa, na ihe gbasara Yaradua na ọrịa ya. Hụ otu ụgha na mmehie anya na njọ na arụ na ụkpa na anyaukwu wụ ihe ji egwu ajọ politiks ha, politiks Naịjirịa. Marakwanụ na Biafra, ụdị ihe dị otu a enweghị ike ime. Na Biafra, anyị ga-eso kọnstitushọn anyị oge dum. Onye anaghị arụsi ọrụ ya nke ọma ma ọ wụ rụsie ya ike, ewepụ onye ahụ. Biafra ga-etinye anya ya na aka ya na ahụ ịdị mma nke ndị mmadụ ndị Biafra. Nwee ndị dọkịta mara ihe, ruo ezigbo ụlọ ọgwụ na klinik na ụlọ akwụkwọ eji azụ ndị dọkịta na ndị nọọsụ na ndị farmasi. Na Biafra, anyị ga-emekwa ihe ndị ọzọ ga-adịrị ndị mmadụ mma. Ọwụ ihe anyị ji ekwu na naanị Biafra ga-emezuru anyị. Naanị Biafra ga-emezi anyị. Naanị Biafra ga-emezi ndụ anyị, mezuokwa ndụ anyị. Kwado ọnụnụ Biafra, sọọsọ Biafra, n'ihe dum gbasara ndụ anyị, n'ihe dum gbasara ụwa ya. Biafra, burikwa ka Chineke so ike gị. Biafra ndụ gị, Biafra ndụ gị, Biafra ndụ gị na ndụ anyị kwa, maka Chineke nọnyerela gị. nọnyerekwara anyị. Ndewonu. Voice of Biafra International, VOBI, broadcast continues. Thank you.
You are tuned to the Voice of Biafra International broadcast, coming to you from Washington, D.C.
Here is a commentary, read by Olu Igbo Chigawa. Today's commentary is titled, It is Never Too Late for Justice to Be Done. Reuters News Service reported on Sunday, November 29, 2009, from Munich, Germany, that, quote, John Demjanjuk, an 89-year-old former Nazi camp guard, is due to stand trial on Monday, November 30, 2009, on charges of helping to force 27,900 Jews into gas chambers in 1943. Demjanjuk is expected to appear in a wheelchair before a packed court in the southern city of Munich, Germany, at what is likely to be Germany's last major trial from the Nazi era. German state prosecutors believe Demjanjuk, who was top of the Simon Wiesenthal Center's list of most wanted war criminals, assisted in murders of the Sobibor death camp in what is now Poland, where at least 250,000 Jews were murdered. Jewish groups and victims' families say it is never too late for justice to be done and that the case is symbolic. Quote, we should not make the mistake of thinking that a case against one war criminal is a case against just one man, end quote, said Rabbi Marvin Ayer, Dean of the Wiesenthal Center in Los Angeles, United States. Quote, when the bell tolls for John Demjanjuk, it is also tolling for every other war criminal. Even gives them sleepless nights, end quote, he told Reuters. John Demjanjuk, who was born in Ukraine, fought on the side of the Red Army, captured by the Nazis, and recruited as a camp guard, had emigrated to the United States of America in 1951, where he became a naturalized citizen in 1958. In May 2009, he was extradited from the United States, sent to Israel, and then to Germany, to face the law for his war crimes. We mention this because we want you, all of you Biafrans, to know that the Jews are still searching for, capturing, and prosecuting war criminals who killed Jews before and during the Second World War. Holocaust survivors, their children, and now their children's children are searching in every country of the world, every province, every city, and every house for the war criminals who killed Jews in the 1930s and 1940s. They are fishing out these war criminals from many countries, including even the United States of America. They are fishing them out, extraditing them from the countries where they are hiding and prosecuting them in courts of law in Israel, in Germany, and in other countries of the world. Since 1948, the Jews have been searching for and capturing these war criminals who carried out the genocide on Jews. Most of them were tried and condemned to death, and the remaining were given life imprisonment without the possibility of parole. Jews all over the world, young, old, rich and not so rich, Jewish intellectuals, top politicians in government, in countries all over the world, scientists, businessmen and women, journalists, filmmakers, artists, soldiers, airmen, naval personnel, police officers and students in countries all over the world, all contribute money, intelligence, their individual special talents, and everything it takes to ensure the capture of the perpetrators of the Jewish Holocaust. They set up foundations, research institutes, intelligence centers, and defense leagues to coordinate these activities and to ensure that not one Jewish Holocaust perpetrator will escape their dragnet. They have gone through all the countries of South America with a fine-tooth comb, spread their dragnet throughout North America and Europe, and beamed their searchlight as far away as Asia, Australia, and Africa. No Nazi war criminal who perpetrated even in very small ways, or who participated even in very small ways in killing Jews, has been spared. No Jewish Holocaust perpetrator has been allowed even one night of restful sleep. This is what the Jews have done to ensure that no one, not even a madman in future, will ever think of, imagine, not to mention, plan and execute genocide on Jews ever again. Now, what about the Igbo Holocaust, the Biafra genocide, the genocide perpetrated by the people of Nigeria on the Igbo, Ibibio, Anang, Efik, Ijaw and Ugoja? What have these people done about the genocide committed against them? What have they done? More than 3 million Biafrans purposely starved to death by the Nigerian government and people. 50,000 to 100,000 men, women and children, unarmed civilians massacred in cold blood in all towns and villages all over northern Nigeria and parts of western Nigeria. 700 men, the cream of the Igbo town of Asaba, gathered together in the market square and slaughtered in cold blood. 300 men, women and children dragged out of the Apostolic Church in the Igbo town of Onitsha, where they were praying, their hands tied behind their backs, and every single one of them slaughtered like a goat. Thousands of innocent women and children herded into jail in Ekota Ebene and left to die gruesome, miserable deaths from starvation. What did the Igbo, Ibibio, Efik, Ijaw, Ugoja, who survived the genocide, do? It has been 40 years since this genocide was perpetrated by the government and people of Nigeria against the Igbo and their brothers. What have they done about this horrific crime against their kith and kin, this monumental crime against humanity? What have they done? What have they done? What have they done? Did they set up foundations, research institutes, intelligence centers, and defense leagues to collect information, to demand justice, to capture and prosecute these war criminals in courts all over the world? Have they even bothered to document the names of the organizers of the genocide and publish this all over the world so the world will know that these monsters exist and that many of them are alive and moving about freely? Most of the perpetrators of the Igbo Holocaust are alive and kicking. People like Yakubu Gowon, Olusegun Obasanjo, Theophilus Danjuma, Anthony Enahoro, Benjamin Adekunle, Maitama Sule, Ibrahim Tahir, Taliban Bauchi, and others. How about those that are dead, such as Obafemi Awolowo, Muritala Mohammed, Domkat Bale, Buka Dimka, and so many others? Have the Igbo and their brothers even bothered to document the names of the perpetrators of Igbo genocide? Publish it for generations to note that these are evil men and women. What have the survivors of the Igbo genocide done to keep in the conscience of the world the tragedy that Nigeria and her people visited on their people? How about the young men and women who suffered the horrible Gowon disease called Kwashiorkor and survived the starvation? Have they bothered to pursue those monsters, those criminals who tried to stab them to death? Have they bothered to establish foundations, research institutes, intelligence centers, and defense leagues to pursue those genocidists who did everything to kill them? How about their children? Have they even ever asked about the Igbo genocide, the Biafra Holocaust? How many children in Igbo land, Europe, North America, South America, Asia, and Australia know that Nigeria committed genocide against the Igbo and other people of Eastern region? How many Igbo, Ibibio, Efik, Ijo, and Ogoja parents have ever told their children the horror stories of how Nigeria perpetrated genocide on Biafra and especially the Igbo? How Nigeria starved 3 million children, babies, pregnant women, old men and old women to death? How Nigeria bombed churches, markets, refugee centers, sick bays, hospitals, feeding centers, slaughtering hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians, mainly women, children, old men, and the infirm? How Nigeria poisoned tons of baby food with arsenic and cyanide, and then smuggled these into Biafra to poison and kill babies? How Nigeria hired Egyptian pilots to fly their warplanes and instructed them to fly really low so they can massacre civilians through targeted bombing of civilian populations in markets, churches, hospitals, and sick bays? How many men and women of Asaba have told their children the horror story of the slaughter of 700 unarmed innocent men, the cream of Asaba town? How many Igbo men and women have told their children the horror story of the slaughter of 300 men, women, and children by Nigerian soldiers in the Apostolic Church in Onitsha? Men, women, and children who were simply praying in their church. How many? How many? How many? Muratullah Mohammed's bronze bust stands conspicuously in the center of Enugu, the political capital of Igbo land. Queen Elizabeth Hospital Umahia was renamed Muratullah Ramat Mohammed Hospital Umahia. There is no city in Eastern Region that does not have a street named after Muratullah Mohammed. Muratullah Mohammed, the leader of the army that committed the worst war crime in Asaba on Nicha, has been rewarded by having his image displayed in the center of Enugu, the political capital of Igbo land, just to remind the Igbo to pay their respect to the leader of the genocidists, the man who ordered the slaughter of 700 men, the cream of Igbo intelligentsia in Asaba. The man who ordered the slaughter of 300 innocent worshippers in Christ Apostolic Church in Onitsha. The man who watched as thousands of innocent Igbo men, women and children were mindlessly slaughtered by the Urobo and Nigerian soldiers in Benin, in Wari, Sapele and other towns in between. The statue and name of this monster, this war criminal, this genocidist now adorns all our cities and towns for our children to see and venerate. How many statues of Chukwuemeka Odumegwu-Ujukwu have you seen in any Igbo town or city? How many streets in any Igbo cities and towns are named after Odumegwu-Ujukwu? How many? Is it any wonder that the Igbo and their brother Easterners have been attacked and slaughtered all over northern Nigeria, Lagos and western Nigeria, more than 35 times since 1980? Is it any wonder that the world now has forgotten the genocide committed on Biafra and is not even mentioned in books and journals and texts? Is it any wonder that the House of Fulani Yoruba have seized your ancestral land, minerals in them, and even your water resources, are exploiting these, selling them and keeping the money? And most of all, are now slaughtering you in thousands in your ancestral homes, in your cities, towns, and villages, without any opposition and without any fear. Why? Ask yourselves, why? Ask yourselves, why? Ask yourselves. Try this. Mention the name Biafra, and you will quickly see some Igbo, Ibibio, Efik, Ijo, and Ogoja freak out. They just freak out. Especially the intellectuals, the politicians, the rich and wealthy. They just freak out. They literally die of fear. No wonder. Your lives have become, quote, Odindo Onwukama, end quote. May God bless the intelligent people of Biafra and the sovereign, independent state of Biafra.
A Voice of Biafra International broadcast coming to you from Washington, D.C., bringing to you matters of interest to Biafra. Thank you for listening to our broadcast. God bless Biafra and you until our next broadcast. Thank you. Good night.